Kick-Ass Vets, sharing tips to help empower you to take control of your career. Hi, everybody. Thanks again for joining us for Kick-Ass Vets podcast. Today, we are going to talk about the 6 kick-ass A's of managing complaints. In veterinary medicine, you're going to get complaints. Any business is going to get complaints, but especially in veterinary medicine, where we have this medical service, but also the financial component, it's just a recipe for clients to complain for tons of reasons. The other problem, or, you know, good thing, problem, depends how you look at it, with veterinary medicine is that it is such a diverse field, and especially general practitioner veterinarians are expected to know everything. So when a client declines referral to a specialist, their general practice vet is still expected to treat that animal. And so it's a huge amount of responsibility. It's a very, very hard job. And the client expectations and the social concept of veterinarians is so high that you're going to get complaints, and sometimes you're going to mess up, and that's going to happen, and you're going to make mistakes. And I've done blogs and podcasts on when you make a medical mistake, but a lot of times you're going to have complaints where you did everything right and the client just wants to complain anyways. No matter which of these complaints it is, every single complaint should be addressed fully, because you want to determine if there's a way that the clinic can improve to prevent complaints in the future. And you want to make sure that you're getting every piece of information that you can out of every complaint. We should always be striving to be better. And even if you have a crazy client that is complaining for ridiculous reasons, there might be a little bit of truth in their complaint that you can improve for the next time. So, you know, listen to every complaint, but then sometimes you just kind of need them to tell them to F off and then forget about them. But obviously you're going to do that in a very polite manner. So every complaint that's made should be addressed in a consistent and professional manner. And if you're a boss or a manager, or if you own a bunch of clinics, having a set process for how you manage complaints is going to be very useful to your staff, because lots of managers in vet clinics are jumping in and they've never managed anything before. Never mind, you know, they've never managed staff, they've never managed the finances. Sometimes they're vets that have no education of managing at all. They've just worked. And then all of a sudden they're supposed to manage client complaints. If you have a set, you know, protocol of how you manage the complaint and what you do and what the processes are, that's going to help. And I like this kind of 6-step process for managing complaints. Step 1 is ask. Ask the client what has upset them. Don't interrupt, just let them talk. If you can, do this in person, because people will feel that they have better displayed and passed along their message in person, but you can do it on the phone as well. But just let them ask what's upsetting them, and let them talk, and write down every single point that has bothered them, no matter how minute. The second A is to acknowledge. So as they're talking and you've written down everything, when they're done, you're going to go back through your detailed list and you're going to acknowledge every single complaint that they've had. And you're going to make sure, and you're going to say, okay, so you were unhappy that the parking lot was full and you had to walk too far with your animal. You were unhappy that you weren't greeted at the door. You were unhappy that the veterinarian accidentally called your boy dog a girl. You're unhappy that the whatever, you know, you go through every single list, no matter how minute, and acknowledge, so that the client is aware that you have understood them and that you have itemized everything that they're upset about. The next A is apology. Show sympathy and show concern for their client and their pet. And if you can apologize, then an apology can make a big difference. Now, you need to be careful with apologies, and there are going to be places where an apology you really can't do because it's an admission of guilt. But in a lot of countries and states, there have been laws that have passed that mean that an apology is not an admission of guilt. So check with your lawyer before apologizing. But statistically, if you can apologize, that can go a long way and can limit the number of complaints that you have. A lot of times owners just want to know that they've been heard and that their grievances have been understood. The next A is to address each individual concern. Remember, medicine is not an exact science. So even if there was a negative outcome, that doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. So go through that list of complaints with the owner and address each individual complaint, explaining everything that was involved with that situation. So, you know, if they're angry because they came in and their dog had an ear infection and they declined the culture and sensitivity, and or you just treated them empirically with a certain medication and then the ear infection didn't go away and then they had to come back, then you just need to address the fact that in medicine, you know, most ear infections are going to be something that can be killed by this drug. So we try that empirically before doing the next step, which is a culture and sensitivity. Or, you know, we talked to you about doing a culture and sensitivity, which you declined at that point, and therefore we had to treat empirically and guess which best antibiotic it was. That didn't work, so now that's next step. Or the ear infection was too severe that it needed further steps. Whatever it is, go through each individual situation and address it and explain it. And it's really important when you're talking about the medical aspects. Sometimes the nurses are the managers of clinics and they're left in these situations where they're dealing with these client complaints and talking about these medical issues, but they don't have the knowledge or the background to understand what the true history of that background was. I recently, there was a case recently at a clinic where I worked, and a GDV surgery was completely refunded because the dog ended up having a pyloric outflow obstruction after. And the client said it was because the PEXI was done in the wrong place. Well, the PEXI wasn't done in the wrong place. I didn't personally do the surgery, but I was there when the surgery was done. It was done near the pylorus, but not directly on the pylorus. It was done, you know, one third up from midline, 13th to 15th rib space. It was done textbook appropriately, but the way the dog had ended up going to a referral center and the way that she interpreted what the specialty referral center had written in their notes and the way that the client interpreted that was that the PEXI was done in the wrong place. I later looked at those notes and was like, that's not what this said. This said that the PEXI led to a pyloric outflow obstruction, but that's one of the risks that happens when you do PEXIs. That's one of the reasons why prophylactic PEXIs are kind of a bit controversial. So it's one of those things where if you need to go through and address everything, make sure that you have the medical background or make sure that you have a vet on board that has gone through everything and gone through the case so that you understand what you're saying, or ideally have a vet talk about those aspects with the owner so that they can answer follow-up questions. The next big A is amends. If the clinic was at fault, then offer compensation. We're all going to make mistakes. And if you have done something wrong, then you should make amends for that. But if you haven't done something wrong and a client is complaining unjustly, you shouldn't just give them something for nothing. That's only hindering your practice. That's devaluing your service. That's telling them that, you know, maybe you're trying to hide something. So if you did something wrong, be honest and upfront about it and make amends for it. But if you didn't do something wrong, then don't just give them money to make them go away. That's not helpful to your clinic. The last A is action. So this is a 6A is action. If your clinic has done something wrong and the client's complaint is justified, you need to make sure you put an action plan into place and tell the owner that you've put an action plan into place into how you're going to make this problem not happen again in the future. That's really what most owners want. If a mistake has been made, they want to know that it's not going to happen again to someone else or to them in the future. So making sure that you communicate that action plan to the owner and show them that it's put into place is really important. The last A, which is a bonus A, is accessible. So when clients have a bad experience, they're going to tell 9 people. If they have a good experience, they're going to tell 1. So if you have someone that's leaving your clinic and they're unhappy, you don't want them leaving not feeling like they have a place to make that complaint, because then what they're going to do is they're going to go to social media or they're going to go to their friends and they're going to complain. So the accessible is having a way that owners can very easily put in complaints. So if you have a brochure outlining the steps of how to put in a complaint, where they can easily see that, you know, you're okay if a client is unhappy and wants to complain, and if they're making comments, then your receptionist can just say, oh, here's a brochure. If you're unhappy, then you can put in a complaint this way. You're giving them an accessible way to complain without that negative word of mouth happening, because then they go home, they send their email, they do their thing, and then it's done. They've felt like they've done with it. They've put in their complaint. They've done an action to rectify the problem, and they don't feel that they then need to go and talk about it to 1,000 other people. It's also very nice for your receptionist so that they don't have to try to be, you know, pandering or dealing with these people. They can just say, you know, I'm really, really sorry that you're not 100% happy with their service. If you have any complaints, please see this brochure. It outlines how to lodge a complaint in the process afterwards. And it shows that your staff are concerned about their client's happiness. They do have ways that complaints can be lodged and addressed. And in that brochure, it's going to say, we're going to make an action plan so that we can improve services. And you can make it a positive brochure. But it's really helpful for your staff, and it's helpful to limit that negative word of mouth that happens when people have a bad experience. So in summary, everyone can learn and everyone can grow, and clinics are going to have times where they're going to have complaints that are justified. So having a system where you address and deal with complaints in an organized and consistent manner is going to take that stress away from your staff, and then the managers that are actually going to have to deal with the complaints are going to feel like they know what they're doing, and the clients are going to feel heard because there's going to be a process. So less of those complaints are going to get, you know, accidentally ignored, which is going to make them even more pissed off. It's going to help improve your patient care. It's going to help your clinic in general. It's going to help you process those complaints, and it's going to hopefully decrease negative word of mouth for anyone that does have a negative experience at your clinic. So that's all I have for you there. All of these steps are listed in the blog. Thank you so much for joining us. And as always, advocate for yourself. You are the only one that will, and we will see you next time.